This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, guys.
And real quick, before we jump into today's show, we wanted to remind you, in case you forgot, because sometimes we forget, we have a book coming out in early September.
Yes.
Kind of know when it's launching, and it's really fun. We're getting to a really exciting point in the process.
Yeah, we are done with the manuscript. We finished that last fall, but now we're getting to this part of creative, like we're doing the book cover, we're working on editing, working on marketing. So it's really fun. It's kind of a different side to book writing that I've never really considered before I became an author and kind of worked through this process.
Yeah, it's really fun, and we know a lot of you guys have so kindly asked, heck, when can I be on your launch team,
or
when can I pre-order, which is crazy. We're talking about that.
And such a gift to us.
Yes, we will let you guys know as soon as we know all those details, and we are just excited for you to keep journeying with us in that and for you guys to read the book.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to see it come to life and have all of you guys hold it in your hands. I feel like that's going to just be a huge and awesome and surreal day.
Okay, so for today's show, we are revisiting the topic of date night and talking a little bit about marriage and what kind of makes a healthy marriage and where we need to be putting our hope in all of this. We are trying to time this with Valentine's Day. We know that it's kind of also a time of the year that it's highlighting maybe some areas in your marriage.
All the awesome dates other people go on.
Yeah, like
when you're at home with the baby.
Yes, it may be highlighting the points in your marriage where you wish things were a little bit different than they actually are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this was stirred up. We talked about this a little bit on the Ask Us Anything show last fall, and we shared with you guys at that time that, hey, this is one of the most popular questions we get every single time we do a big ask for questions. This is what you guys want to know, which we love. We get it. Totally. It makes sense. But there's also kind of this other perspective to it that we want to share today. And we touched on it really lightly in that Ask Us Anything show, but we want to dig into it a little bit more here because we have lots of thoughts and we understand this being a pinch point. So we are hopeful today that we can kind of give it a little more airtime.
Yeah. So we want to start by defining date night for you, because I think sometimes people use that term really broadly and just meaning, hey, any time that you spend together as a couple investing in your relationship. But what we're talking about is actually getting out of the house, away from your kids on a special outing that might require extra time or finances or, you know, doing something really special. So this is, again, date night in terms of, oh, we're going out of the house, away from our kids on a date, which might be a little bit of a different...
Yeah, like date night in, like people have we have the date night in where we watch Netflix and popcorn.
Yes. So we're kind of putting that in a different category.
Different category.
Not what we're talking about today.
Yeah. These are you're getting out of the house, leaving the children behind those nights. So one of the things we want to think about as we frame up this conversation about date night is that we are definitely not saying don't have date night if you can get it, or that it's a bad idea. But the thing that we kind of see happening, and it's happened to Emily and I as well, that is that date night can kind of feel like this is the only way that I can be intimate in my marriage and that I can really grow in my marriage, where there's just kind of unfair pressure put on something, like a stereotypical type out of the house. And so we don't want to hold up kind of this modern date night as the gold standard for growth in marriage.
Yeah, I think as humans, we're really good at taking all kinds of wonderful gifts that God gives and great tools that we can use to see growth in our lives and in our marriage. And like, we make them laws to live by. And we kind of feel like, well, everything is lost if I don't get things a certain way. And we just hear from a lot of stressed like wives and moms who want to just invest in their marriage, but maybe her husband works really long hours and he travels regularly, or maybe he's overseas or is in the military, or maybe they have a child with special needs, or they're struggling to make ends meet, or they've just moved. I mean, there are all these different seasons in life, and a lot of marriages just aren't at a point where they can do this modern idea of a date night right now. And we want to just speak to those moms and say, yeah, we still have hope. There is still good news for us in scripture, in God's design for marriage. So let's not be discouraged. And we want to talk to that today.
Yeah. And I think the big reason why there's a lot of discouragement is that culture and relationship experts and even Christian culture are really telling us, hey, date nights are super important. In fact, they're critical to a thriving and healthy marriage, or that the date night is the secret sauce to keeping close and romantic marriage. You know, I think that there's this connection that we all make that says a date night equals a romantic, thriving, long-lasting marriage. And yes, it can help. We want to acknowledge that for sure. That is such a good piece of the puzzle. And that's really important to have one-on-one time. But we want to challenge that notion that it has to be looking in a certain way, particularly the way that culture at large tells us it should look.
Yeah, I think you're so right that there are good things. There are truth. I mean, Americans especially, like, there's this tendency to be super child-centered. And like, we spend tons of time taking our kids to activities, and we spend tons of money making sure they get all this education and training. But then we totally put our marriage on the back burner and neglect it. And it is good for kids to see mom and dad loving and prioritizing one another. Because I know I'm looking forward to if and when we don't have kiddos at home anymore, or they're all grown up. Like, I want to still have a relationship with my husband that wasn't put on the back burner. So for sure, that is so important. And that probably has to happen through quality time and investment in different ways. But I know for me, where date night has become a pinch point a few times is especially early on. I had, okay, my husband is supposed to be pursuing me by putting regular date nights on the calendar. And if he's not,
He's not pursuing you.
Yeah. Like, we're failing at this thing. And
yeah. And isn't it interesting how we really want our husband to plan it? It's like, we want to plan it, but we don't really want to be the ones to plan it. And it means even more if he's the one, it means like he's more invested in our marriage than if he doesn't plan it.
Yeah. And it's been interesting because at different points, like, I've been on bed rest for long seasons of time before when I was pregnant with twins, or we've had just chaos times when, yeah, we've had 5 very young kids. And honestly, right now, to get out of the house, we need 2 babysitters.
That's so expensive.
It's hard, you know? And yet, like, I see the Lord growing us in our marriage and deepening our intimacy in other ways. And so I just think the longer we've been married, 10 years this fall, whoop, whoop.
Woo, nice.
It's just, and I don't have a ton of wisdom, but I do see that God has used a lot of different seasons, easy and hard, date nights, not date nights, to grow us. And I kind of wish I could go back and tell newly married Emily, like, enjoy your husband where you're at today, and find ways to serve each other and enjoy your date nights when you get them, but it's going to be okay.
That's good truth. Yeah. And you guys keep hearing us kind of frame this as modern date nights, the concept of modern date nights, and really got Emily and I down this path as we were thinking about, well, what about people in the Bible? Did they have date nights? Like, is date night in the Bible, or even just historically, like looking at more recent history, 1800s, 1900, something like that. As we were talking about this, we thought, let's just look at a couple kind of famous couples from history, from Christian history, and see what would date night look like for them if they had it, or could they even have it?
Yeah. One couple that we were doing some research on, and Laura and I had some good conversations back and forth, was Charles and Susanna Spurgeon. So for those of you guys who don't know, and I needed to get schooled up on this.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things you were like, oh yeah.
Charles Spurgeon was a prolific preacher and writer kind of in the 1800s. And he and his wife, Susanna, had twin boys who both ended up growing up to be believers. And they really credited their mom for really raising them in the Lord. And while we totally do not know a lot about the ins and outs of their marriage and how it worked, we're not claiming to know any of that. What we do know is that Susanna spent long seasons struggling through chronic illness, and she was often confined to home. Sometimes she couldn't even make it to church. And then we also know that her husband, Charles, had a lot of different physical illnesses, and he struggled with depression over the course of their lives. And I know the little taste that I've had of, you know, going through seasons of time where I was physically limited, or maybe the whole family is sick or something, I can't imagine how hard it would make it on a marriage to get that time together, let alone a date night out of the house together. And yet God, we know, sustained their marriage in some way to the end of their life, and they had this powerful kingdom-impacting ministry together as a couple despite mm-hmm. those challenges.
Yeah, Spurgeon has some sermons even where he preaches and speaks very highly of marriage, and like he uses the word joyful love that it brings. And so, again, we totally admit that we're speculating here, but we just want to bring perspective in of saying, like, hey, the Bible is applicable for all people for all of time. And so what did it look like in the past when, hey, they didn't have cars, they might not have had as easy access to babysitters. They maybe didn't have like all of these wonderful places to go and make all the memories. And so what would date night look for these people? And it kind of just seems like maybe it wasn't quite as prolific as we find it to be now. So another couple that we wanted to touch on was Hudson Taylor and Jane Elizabeth Faulding. I think I'm saying that right. Hudson Taylor is a more well-known missionary. I'm going to link an autobiography in our show notes of him that I read recently that just I found really helpful and enjoyed reading. I love missionary biographies. So this is Hudson's second marriage, and he was actually a friend of Charles Spurgeon's, which is a cool connection.
Ooh, fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. And so he is best known for his mission work in China. He started the China Inland Mission. So if any of you guys have ever heard of that, hopefully that rings a bell. But anyway, Jane is Hudson's second marriage. And so he had four children from his previous marriage. And when they got married, Hudson actually, he fell on a riverboat or off a riverboat while he was in China, and he was nearly paralyzed. So they went back to England for his recovery. And about 2 years later, he was better. And by that time, he and Jane had had two children. So Jane had six kiddos, and Hudson went to China for a few years all by himself. And we know that Jane stayed back. And so again, we don't know all of the details of their marriage and the ways that God sustained them, but we do know that realistically the space, the distance between them did not allow for regular date nights. Eventually Hudson came back and they were reunited, of course, but it's just interesting to see for them, like, again, they had many, many years away while Hudson was off doing mission work and Jane was home taking care of the six kids. And what did that look like for them? And we know that they remained married until I think Jane died of cancer.
Yeah. So I think what we wanted to just draw out of these stories is that both of these couples and many, many, many more throughout history, both in scripture that we could probably reference or just any part in history and honestly around the world today, are facing challenging and exhausting circumstances. But there are still a lot of couples through Christ who are doing God's work and people that are going to go down in redemptive history as being individuals and couples who made this huge impact for the spread of the gospel. And, you know, maybe they enjoyed some form of date night. Maybe they didn't, probably didn't, in the way that we define it. And that doesn't make date nights bad. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do them. But what we're trying to illustrate is that God gives grace. And we hope that this encourages you if you feel like you're in a season where you're separated from your husband just because of military or work or whatever, and you feel discouraged, that you guys can still be unified and doing important work for the kingdom without what we would say is stereotypically healthy for a marriage.
Yeah, so looking at these historical examples is fun, but what about modern day examples? Just to, again, as Emily's saying, all of you guys that are in this today, how can we encourage you? So we asked our friend Hunter Beelis from the Journey Women podcast. Hopefully you all listen. We love her. We love her ministry with the podcast. She has awesome interviews. So head over there to listen to it. But we asked her, as a friend of ours, to share about she and her husband Brooke's marriage. So you're going to hear her talk in a minute. But just to give you a little background, he's in the military and he travels a lot. So she was someone who came to mind when we thought about, hey, who's someone who might not get that regularly, but God is still being faithful in their marriage. So here is what she had to say about how God has sustained their marriage.
Date nights are a dream, but my husband Brooks and I have a major logistical hang-up with the advice that we've received to make them a regular reality. As a soldier, Brooks's job actually requires him to be away anywhere from 1/3 to 1/2 of every year. When he's home, he's required to work long hours, sometimes even through the night. Deployments, trainings, living states away from family, all these things make even irregular date nights really tough. In our first years of marriage, I actually felt really guilty about not adhering to the well-intentioned wisdom of the weekly date night. Forget regularly dating. We couldn't even talk on the daily. But by God's grace, despite these logistically challenging circumstances and our inability to make a regular date night happen, Brooks and I actually really do experience intimacy and oneness in our marriage. The Lord's been faithful to sustain us as we seek to display His covenant-keeping love right where He has us. If you want practical application as to what this looks like, we pray together at the same time, even when we're separate in proximity. We write notes that communicate value and dignity to one another. We strive to make the most of the time that we actually do have together. We believe that seeking to know and be known is more of a mindset and a lifestyle than a literal date on the calendar. And beyond that, as we just seek to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and might, we inevitably grow in our love for one another every day of every week.
So much good stuff in there, and I hope so many of you can relate. Hunter shared that so eloquently, so thank you, Hunter. So we wanted to just kind of close the podcast with some encouragement that when we look at scripture and see what God chose to record as good news for marriages and talking about His design, we see things like, hey, we're supposed to love each other with Christ's love and sacrifice in marriage. Our marriage is this mysterious picture of Christ and the church, and it's supposed to reflect that. God encourages us to love and respect one another, to engage in appropriate submission, to be on mission together. We see that all throughout scripture. Things like, this one's hard for us to hear sometimes, but having regular sexual intimacy is something that the Lord emphasized, praying together, leaving and cleaving and becoming one flesh, keeping the marriage bed really pure and undefiled and staying committed to each other until death. And so I think that when we look at scripture and what God says, this is my design for you, this is my hopes for you, and we know that sin is going to impact that, but in Christ, this is what we're supposed to be doing. I think these are the things that we can really cling to and uphold and do with His help in a variety of different circumstances.
Yeah, and as Emily and I were talking about this concept before we recorded, you know, we were like, ultimately, all we really want is just to feel cherished. We want to feel loved. We want to feel special. And we really want to feel that Christ-like love that Emily was kind of talking about, what God has charged the marriage to be biblically. And I think anyone who's been married for a number of years, you've been on a handful of these date nights, you just realize that date night's not actually a guarantee either. You can ask my husband. He has said, Laura, you are very good at ruining date night. With my stubborn heart and kind of bad attitude at times. And isn't it funny? You build this up in your mind and you're so excited and looking forward to it. And then something happens, maybe, let's just say, you know, not personal experience, but your husband is home late from work. And so then you're late to your date night. And so then you don't talk to him for a little bit. So this was old Laura, but I think that it's just important to remember that date night is never a guarantee anyway. And wouldn't it be a great way to cherish your husband, not through expecting these grandiose acts of date night, but instead really thinking towards how can I love my husband in the little things in the life that God has called us to today by serving him, giving him back rubs, sending texts, emails, just those small acts of service. Those are the things that can sustain a marriage for a long time instead of putting all your stock in this one big grand night that has a 50-50 chance of going well.
I think we're saying, hey, instead of putting all the stock in the date night, let's broaden the view and think about how we can cherish our husband in everyday life. That's so good. We say this on almost every show, but we have to have a relationship with the Lord and be finding our identity and our hope in Jesus.
I think that's a good thing to say on every show.
Gotta say it. I have to say it.
I do feel like a broken record, but I'm like, you know, if I'm going to say anything over and over again, I'm going to tell people to love Jesus and spend time with him.
Yep. He's the only person who's going to meet your expectations and exceed them. Another one is just rejoice and enjoy your marriage as a gift from God. We know that there are tons of complexities. Some of you are thinking of objections, but do it when it's mundane. Do it when you get a date night.
Yeah, and look for ways that you guys are serving the kingdom or you could start to serve on mission together and finding joy in that. I think of Priscilla and Aquila, who were working side by side with Paul, spreading the gospel with him. Of course, enjoying intimacy. We know there are a lot of nuances and different things to that, but as you can to invest in that way in your marriage and praying for more time together. You know, if it really is a huge desire in your heart to say, I really want to go on date nights. And again, this isn't wrong. It's just if your expectation and all your hope lies in it. But in general, if you want a date night, tell your husband, pray to God for it. Ask that he will make a way. And if not, he will make you content in the process. And lastly, just don't compare with other couples. I mean, this is like broad brush marriage advice, life advice.
We are just kind of, we're like roller painting a wall of marriage right now.
We're not edging the trim out right now. We are with a big, you know, 18-inch roller.
Keep that in mind.
But truly, just don't look side to side and say, well, that couple, they look happy and they're getting regular date nights and I'm not because I'm in a different season. Comparison is truly never worth it. And so in all of this, we pray and hope that you get a version of date night. You get some sort of date night, of course. But more than that, we pray that your heart is just tuned to the Lord and His desire for marriage and that you seek Him above all things, even your ideal night out away from the kids. We know how good it sounds and how good it feels, can feel, and how what promises it brings. But ultimately, just remember that God is the only one that can truly sustain your marriage and keep you guys faithful to one another till the end. And so He is where your hope needs to lie, not in date night.
Amen. All right. Well, if you guys want some more resources or, you know, see where we've maybe talked about this in other places, you can head to our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. And you can also find us on social media at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.